A new statement by a consortium of 60-plus scholars led by Dr. Robert George of Princeton calls on Americans to essentially ignore the Supreme Court's June 26th decision on same-sex marriage and to basically treat it as if it applies only to the plaintiffs involved, but not to the rest of the country. The scholars, signing for themselves, come from such schools as Notre Dame, Oxford, Hillsdale, Villanova, Vanderbilt, and, of course, Princeton. Will Upton is the executive director of the Campaign for American Principles. The website is campaignforamericanprinciples.com. He joins us to talk about this statement. Will, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, so we've kind of given a brief outline of the statement. What caused this to actually come about? I mean, obviously, different people had different reactions to the decision, but it was interesting to see this coming from some within academia.
I mean, it was a very organic process. Here you have a group of very distinguished legal scholars who, over a period of time and kind of some internal debate, came together and really came up with kind of a framework and a theory of how to deal with not just Obergefell, but an ongoing issue of judicial supremacy.
Obergefell being the same-sex marriage decision.
Right, okay. Right, correct. And out of this was born the Campaign for American Principles, which is, to my recollection, the first truly kind of overarching social conservative super PAC. We're trying to take this scholar statement and turn it into a process forward to create a political and electoral solution to this issue of same-sex marriage and the kind of the fallout from that, and also to judicial supremacy. So we've launched our own kind of letter writing campaign, highlighting the scholar statement and sending it every time somebody signs up. That gets sent to all the 2016 presidential campaigns, and we're calling on them to basically echo the scholar statement, to treat Obergefell not as a law of the land, but as Justice Alito said, an abuse of judicial power. We want them to refuse to recognize Obergefell as creating a binding rule controlling any other cases or their own conduct as president. We want them to appoint judges and justices who respect the constitutional limits of their power. And we want them to come out and support the First Amendment Defense Act being pushed by Senator Mike Lee and Congressman Raul Labrador that would protect the free speech rights of those who hold to the idea of conjugal marriage and a union based on husband and wife.
Yeah. In fact, one of the segments coming up in a program I'll be doing soon will be involving one of the cases of one of the bakers where, because of their conscience, they can't participate in a wedding, a same-sex wedding, and they're being punished. It's like Tony Perkins said, if you think baking a wedding cake was expensive, try not baking one.
Exactly. And we're seeing this not just with bakers. You're seeing it with people who do other types of catering with the incident with the pizza parlor in Indiana, and you're seeing it with elected officials, with Kim Davis in Kentucky. To an extent, the Obergefell decision was so far-reaching and so misthought that it's really impacting the lives of Christians, of Orthodox Jews, of Muslims, of people of faith who hold to, the conjugal definition of marriage as a marriage between a man and a woman, one man and one woman. It's really going to disparately impact their lives. And it's going to make it very hard to, in the case of getting Kim Davis, to serve in public office.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you a question. First of all, this is signed by what? 64 scholars, I believe, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, are others who are, let's say that you have a scholar from a different school or whatever, or they saw this and they thought, I agree with this, and they wanted to sign. Is it a closed deal, or how does that work? I'm just curious.
Not at all. Not at all. You can email myself at contact@campaignforamericanprinciples.com. And we'll be probably in the next couple of weeks releasing kind of an updated version of the statement with even more scholars signing on.
Yeah. Now, and what is the criterion? Do they have to be actively in a school? Because I noticed there were some that it sounded like they weren't presently teaching.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to be active. I mean, the scholars, I think, are kind of, the current signers are kind of looking at other people who want to sign on and deciding, how best to kind of present it. And I'd have to run it by them. But yeah, there's some people who are professor emerituses that are now with different institutions.
Right.
So you're seeing kind of an across the spectrum movement here of people who really want to also engage with the grassroots and build this movement that we can create a political movement out of and say, hey, we've had enough.
Okay, so I assume that Dr. George had a lot to do with this. Can you explain the genesis?
The genesis really, it was a very organic process from what I understand in talking to some of the scholars, and something that they've been kind of bouncing around ever since the decision came down from the Supreme Court on how best to address this. And, you know, you get a room full of a bunch of lawyers, and it can take a while to come to some type of consensus.
Sure.
But they came to this consensus, and then Professor George came to the good folks at American Principles Project and Campaign for American Principles, and the super PAC was kind of born out of this statement and this idea, with Professor George founding it to really, you know, with the concept that we have a great moment here to build this movement and send a strong political message by costing the Democrats the White House in 2016. Huh. And it's going to have the added benefit too of showing the Republican Party, hey, your political strategy is wrong. You shouldn't be ignoring the social issues.
Right.
You shouldn't be ignoring us.
And this is beyond politics. This is beyond politics. I mean, for example, the statement itself quotes at length from Abraham Lincoln, of course, the first Republican president. You wouldn't know that today, mm-hmm. except for maybe that movie from a few years ago. Republican. Okay. Anyway, Lincoln so disagreed with the idea of judicial activism, that may be a surprise to some people.
Yeah, I think it would be, but you know, he at his time faced the Dred Scott decision, and we today are facing once again this idea of judicial supremacy, that for some reason the Supreme Court is the end-all be-all decider of interpreting the Constitution, and that none of the other branches of government have, you know, any ability to think for themselves, evidently, when it comes to the Constitution. I mean, the fact is Congress never legislated same-sex marriage. The Supreme Court, you know, as they highlight the statement, just kind of created it.
Yeah.
And that was an act of judicial supremacy, and I think a real threat to our republic.
And frankly, Congress never voted on abortion either. The U.S. Supreme Court, you know, ushered that in. Congress never said, okay, no more voluntary school prayer. The Supreme Court ushered that in.
Yep.
Actually, one could argue with that last point I just made, because they might say, well, those decisions of the Supreme Court regarding school prayer dealt with the issue of involuntary versus voluntary. But that's another issue. Let's ask you this. Tenure. It would seem to me that whoever had the temerity to sign such a statement, including a Vanderbilt professor and a Princeton professor and even somebody from Notre Dame, in today's politically correct milieu, where academia is probably the most liberal places of them all, I'm sure every one of these professors had tenure, either that or they've got a you know, a backup plan on their career.
I think in the end that they're very distinguished academics who have had enough, and when you read the statement, you realize that they're not saying something that is in an academic setting wholly disagreeable. I think even the left would have to look at this and say, okay, they have a point.
Will,
whether or not the left would actually do that, I don't know.
You know, Will, I've seen enough. Yeah, no, I agree with you theoretically, and in reality, I think there's a different thing going on. I mean, for example, I was just watching some video yesterday that was videotaped in 2012, where an evangelical minister went and spoke at Indiana University, and then all these students, or a university in Indiana, I don't remember the name of the school, and then all these students, rather than listen to what he had to say, just basically shouted him down for being homophobic or racist or whatever. And he was none of the above. But because they disagreed with them, they shot down the messenger so they wouldn't have to be exposed to the message. And this is happening over and over and over in some of our schools.
Yeah, and you're seeing that. I mean, and I think a great stark example here is, you know, with the example you just gave, and you see it with Republican politicians and conservative speakers who try to go to campuses, they get, you know, kind of shouted off stage or the events canceled outright. Yet at the same time, Liberty University in Virginia, a very good Christian school, had Bernie Sanders come and speak, and the students sat there and listened very politely and engaged with him during the Q&A, and it was a wonderful event. It's kind of a weird contrast there. You kind of start to think, I think a lot of these guys, a lot of the scholars just said, you know, enough is enough and something needs to be said. Mm-hmm. And whatever the repercussions will be, those will be the repercussions and they'll figure something out. But right now this needed to be said.
One of the most fascinating aspects about this statement is they're not just saying we don't agree with this statement. They're basically saying, not only ignore it, they're saying if you have to, go ahead and disobey it. For example, if you're a lower level clerk or whatever, you know, if you're a clerk in some capacity, don't obey it. They're calling for civil disobedience, if I read this correctly.
It's a passive resistance, I think, is probably the best kind of idea they have. And it goes back to what they say, to refuse to accept Obergefell as binding precedent for all but the specific plaintiffs in the case. They said that it's binding only for the plaintiffs. It's not binding, as the court made it, for all the states and all the citizens of the United States. So they take a very narrow definition of what the court's purview is on a case like this when it's not ruling on an act of Congress. And again, we have no act of Congress. Therefore, what is the court exactly ruling on?
Sure.
So I think that's kind of their point here in saying, you know, that under a understanding of what the court's role is, you know, passive resistance is an acceptable avenue. And I think that, you know, that with the super PAC, that's what we're trying to. We're trying to take that idea of resistance and turn it into a political avenue forward so that we aren't just resisting, we're actually affecting change. And we're going to step in and put into office and help elect political leaders who actually understand the need to rein in the courts, who understand the need for a sound constitutional republic, and understand the fact that there are countless Americans who hold a traditional view of marriage and are being completely silenced by the current political elite.
Yeah. So, okay. So if I, just to recap this is a very important point. It would not be accurate to say you're calling for civil disobedience to this ruling, but rather passive resistance. And I guess the lawyers can figure out the differences between those two points. Okay, let me ask you this. Now, one of the points that that you all make in the statement is that dissent against same-sex marriage will be punished. You don't use those words. I use those words for you, but that's basically one of the things that is very shocking in this.
Oh, yeah, I think we've seen it. And I think what that's kind of echoing to is the case of Kim Davis. Here you have a county clerk who one of her jobs is to issue marriage licenses atop of everything else a county clerk does. The state constitution of Kentucky defines marriage between one man and one woman. You know, that's what they've been acting on. And yet when the Obergefell decision happened, she then had to start issuing licenses to same-sex couples, even though it violated the Kentucky Constitution, which she swore an oath to uphold, and it violated her own religious conscience. Within her office, there is at least one deputy clerk that said they'd be willing to sign same-sex marriage licenses. The issue, though, is that in Kentucky, and there's, I think, a few other states that do it, but not very many, the power was vested in the individual elected clerk and not the office of the clerk. So her name personally went on the license, no matter if she signed it or not. And Judge Bunning eventually kind of created the proper carve out where her name is now removed from the licenses and it just reads by pursuant of a federal court order. And then there were some, the ACLU tried to step in and throw a wrench into all that and argue that they weren't valid, but that's all been kind of, looks like that's all going to pan out okay.
The ACLU doing that just to punish her, just to see her go back to jail or worse.
Out of spite, out of spite. But yet they jailed her.
Yeah.
They didn't fine her. They put her in prison. Yep. And
Well, you will agree with this, and you know, if you don't, we're going to punish you. It's amazing. It's like what Justice Alito said in his dissent of the actual decision itself. He said, quote, "I assume that those who cling to old beliefs will be able to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their own homes. But if they repeat those views in public, they will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools."
Yep.
Wow.
And I think, you know, we're going to see something. We've seen it in the cases of bakers. We've seen it in the cases of some of these pizza shops. I mean, we're going to see it with the business community. And we're going to see a lot of these large corporations. You know, we're already seeing it in Georgia right now, where you've got the Georgia Chamber of Commerce and GE and all these major corporations saying, well, if you pass any religious conscience protections, you know, we're not going to do business here.
Wow.
Because they're scared of some people on Twitter and on Facebook saying mean things about them.
Yeah.
It's literally their calculus. They would rather throw under the bus, you know, good Christian consumers in exchange for, you know, saving some stress on social media.
And millennia mm-hmm. of a tradition when it comes to what marriage really is. Campaign for AmericanPrinciples.com for more information. Campaign for AmericanPrinciples.com, again, in reference to the statement calling for constitutional resistance to Obergefell versus Hodges. Will Upton, again, the executive director of the campaign, thank you so much for joining us. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.